See if I can do this without making too much noise. Bang. That's it. Thank you very much, Pete, for praying for me. But let's pray together now, shall we? Heavenly Father, this current series of talks that we've just begun is all about prayer. So it's only right we come before you and seek your wisdom and seek your blessing as we now turn to learn a little from your word. Be with us during these next few minutes. Use them to speak to each one of us, including the speaker as well. I don't really want to miss out. Deal graciously with us, Father. Help us to hear your great voice and know your presence among us this morning through your Holy Spirit ministering to each one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes I hear people wondering and murmuring and saying, what would Jesus say if he were here today? You might have found yourself doing exactly that. What would Jesus say if he were here? Well, what would he say? How would we hear? How does God speak to us? Today's subject, continuing on in prayer, is entitled Praying and Hearing. Praying and Hearing. So how does he speak to us? Through the Bible? Through others, like preachers, like me? Through one's conscience? By some divine providence in life? You know, we could think of so many different things, and quite often we're just thinking wild guesses. And it's often difficult to take everything on board. How do we hear from Father? Well, I want to provoke things a little bit this morning. Oh dear, he says, he's already off. I want to say to you, he is right here. Right here among us, in this church, in this room, at this time. Got it? Everybody got that? It's important you do. How can I claim that situation? Well, let me tell you, it's quite simple. Because that's exactly what he promised when he said, I will be with you always until the end of the age. And you can read that in Matthew chapter 28. If we believe that this is a true word from our Lord Jesus, how can we not believe that he's right here with us today? Of course he is. But how do we hear from our Father? How can we detect his word? And it is a bit of a mystery to quite a few people. I was reading from an Old Testament prophet, Habakkuk, this week. And he highlights something of an answer to this question as he shared. And he says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, I stand on my watchtower. What's a watchtower, you say? Well, let me say the first key to hearing God's voice is to go to a quiet place. Quieten your hearts, still your thoughts and your emotions. This is only part and a small part of waiting upon the Lord that Peter shared with us last week. Psalm 46 verse 10 encourages us to be still cease striving and know that he is God. Psalm 37, we are called to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. There is a deep inner knowing in our spirits that each of us can experience when we quieten our bodies and our minds. Practicing the art of what you might call biblical meditation helps silence the outer noise and the distractions, all that want our attention. I often find that just being quiet on my own with God helps me to focus and concentrate totally and only upon him. We read in 2 Kings 3, Elisha needed a word from the Lord. And so he said, bring me a musician. And as the musician played, the Lord spoke to him. Recently, a friend shared that playing a worship song on his MP3 player was the quickest way for him to quieten down. He needed to choose a song carefully. Boisterous songs of praise didn't work, but rather gentle songs that express love and worship helped enormously. Helped him to be quiet before his God. Helped him to focus upon what God was saying to him. See how it works, church? Just allow God to minister through his word very quietly in a song that we just sang. Helps you to put everything else to one side. It isn't enough just to sing the song into the air. You will come into the Lord's presence most quickly and easily when you use your imagination to see the truth that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is right there with you, right alongside you. You're actually singing to him personally, one to one. I will keep watch to see, said the prophet, to receive the pure word of God. It is very important that my heart be properly focused as I become still, because my focus is the source of the flow. If I fix my eyes upon Jesus, the flow comes from Jesus. But if I fix my gaze upon some desire of my heart, the flow comes out of that. To have a pure flow, I must become still and carefully fix my eyes upon Jesus, And as the old verse says, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious glory and grace. Quietly worshipping the King and receiving out of the stillness that follows. So, as you pray, fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus, visualizing from the Holy Spirit all that Father is sharing with you. Habakkuk was actually looking for a vision as he prayed. He opened up the eyes of his heart and looked to the Holy Spirit to make clear what God wanted to show him. God has often spoken through dreams and visions, particularly in the Old Testament. But later, in the New Testament, Father specifically says that they, the visions and the dreams, would come to those upon whom the Holy Spirit is poured out. Acts chapter 2. Father, help us to understand as a church that that is to each one of us here. Every single one of us here this morning, you are wanting to communicate with. You are wanting to reach out and touch their lives. But they need to be quiet. They need to be open. They need to be listening. Church, being a logical and rational person, so I think, my physical senses are the foundation of my life. What I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I do. But it's also the foundation of my spiritual life. I had never thought of opening the eyes of my heart and looking for a vision. Never thought of it. However, as time has gone on as a Christian, I have come to understand that by focusing upon the Lord Jesus, I can learn exactly what God wants from me. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for me to see the vision and the movement of Almighty God. Church, is that what you want? That's what God desires to give us this morning. If we would be quiet before him and seek him. Church, there's an active spirit world all around us, full of angels, the Holy Spirit and other spirits, the ever-present Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus. The only reasons for me not to see this reality is because I'm not looking. I'm not searching. Perhaps I don't believe it or understand that there is a whole spiritual realm out there just waiting to be discovered by each one of us. God wants to talk. If only we would listen. I want to give you a reading now. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you have a Bible, feel free to turn to it. 1 Samuel was quite early on, just after the prophets, or just during the prophets, really. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'm going to read a fair bit of it, starting at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. He was only a youngster, a young boy, the age of some of the young boys we've had running and girls we've had running around here. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he got up and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and he laid down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he almost ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And then the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Well, here I am, you definitely called me." My interpretation. And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth.'" Some versions say, "Listening. The servant is listening." So Samuel went and he lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there. "Samuel, Samuel," he says. And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle." And he goes on to explain that vision, what he's going to do. I want to pick up in verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, that's the whole country, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. May the Lord just demonstrate to us how it is that we can respond to his call. Go down, go, lie down, and when he calls, you answer him. That's what Eli told Samuel. In his sermon in Acts 2, Peter refers to a statement by King David. "I saw the Lord always in my presence," he says, "for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken." Peter's referring to a quote from an Old Testament psalm written by David. The original psalm makes it clear that this was a decision of David's, not a constant supernatural visitation. "I have set," literally, "I have placed the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." It's Psalm 16. David knew that the Lord was always with him, and he determined in his spirit to see the truth with the eyes of his heart as he went through life, knowing that this would keep his faith strong. Brothers and sisters, in order to see, we must look. Daniel saw a vision in his mind and he said, I was looking. I kept looking. And I kept on looking. And as I pray, I look for Jesus. And I watch as he speaks to me, doing and saying the things that are on his heart. Many Christians will find it, if they only look, they will see. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. It's as simple as that. You can see Christ present with you because Christ is present with you. And Jesus demonstrated the ability of living in constant contact with God, declaring that he did nothing on his own, but only what he saw the Father doing and what the Father said to him. That's John 5. For us, we simply have to fix our eyes upon Jesus. The veil has been torn. We are given access into the immediate presence of God, and he calls us to draw near. And I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. And you ask me, boy, that sounds a bit heavy. How does this work in practice? What have I got to do? Well, let me explain to you. It isn't like that. It cannot be more practical if you chose it to be. Last Friday, I attended the funeral of somebody within my family. I would say that although I had known the guy for a number of years, I was never really that close to him. And then as the family moved to Clacton some 20 years ago, I've really been out of contact for long periods of time. But as I'm known as the religious one in the family, you've heard of that, guess who was asked to share a eulogy on Des's life during the funeral service? Of course, they asked me. Help was my immediate response. How do I do that? I barely know the guy. Well, what happened? One, I shut myself quietly into my office at home. I'm known to do that. Speak to Dave. I placed the whole thing before Father and asked for help. I'm sure you've done that in many a thing. And I left it with him. It didn't come straight away. But I found that whenever I was in prayer over the next few days, Father reminded me of another thought or of another incident that I could share. And before long, the whole thing was written. There was a bit of humor, a few serious comments, and just one matter that Des himself had shared with me a few days before he died. It wasn't a long document, just over a page. But it shared the relevant and the interesting points about Des's life. And I was able to finish it with a prayer, something quite unusual in my family that they pray, but they did. It is a totally practical way of worshiping God, to quietly come into his presence, to look upon the face of your Saviour and allow him to speak to you. Allow him to minister to you. How do you think this sermon has been put together this morning, if it isn't by doing exactly that? Of course, this is just one way Father may speak to us. There's a whole myriad of ways he could speak. Some share that Father speaks when they're out walking. Of course he does. Someone once shared that they heard God speak when they were fishing. I don't know about the fish. But the important point, the most important point, is that we must put ourselves into the position of being able to hear from him. One last quick point. I said I wasn't going on this morning. Sorry. Keep a record. Some call it a diary, others call it a journal. Keep a record of when Father speaks. God told Habakkuk to record the vision, Habakkuk 2. This is not an isolated command. The scriptures record many examples of individuals' prayers and God's replies. Read the Psalms. We've been reading the Proverbs. Many of the prophets. Read Revelation. I have found that carrying out this final practical principle helps build my confidence in my ability to hear God's words and God's voice. Later, as you read your notes, you too will be blessed to discover that you are indeed talking with God. If you wonder if it's really the Lord speaking to you, share it with someone. Their input will encourage your faith and strengthen your commitment to spend time getting to hear and know the Father who intimately you hadn't ever dreamed would be possible. He wants to speak. Will you hear? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to listen. Help us to put ourselves where we can hear from you. Help us to focus on the Lord Jesus and the things that are above. Help us to hear from you. In Jesus' name. Amen.